Well, I trust everybody this morning is challenged and encouraged with the Lord. I've written on the board, give Lord first place. Could have said give God first place. Give the Lord first place. I have a little story I want to read to you in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And I trust this morning, you know, we all, I'm going to just kind of speak openly. We all come to service a lot of times. We've gone to lots of services in our lives. We've been many a Sundays we've been to service. Sunday morning and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. And it's easy sometimes to come to service and you fill your place and you go through a form and you've done your thing and you go home and you did your Sunday duty. But my hope and my prayer is that when we come, me included, that we come and we open up our hearts to the Lord and we give Him place in our mind and in our heart when we're here to be able to leave better equipped and better prepared to live a life for the Lord than when we came, and not let the enemy distract us with thoughts of what we're going to do later or next week or what happened yesterday, but that we would give the Lord space in our life. We give the Lord, or we give a lot of other things space in our lives. I want to give the Lord space. So as we read this story, listen to the story, read along with me if you will, and let the Lord's Spirit speak to your heart. This is the 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. And this is about Elijah. A familiar story. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, and we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So before getting into this story, and there's so much that we could talk about in this story, but before we get into it, I want to just make this point to think about as we go through the story. And that is that the word of the Lord, or the promises that the Lord gives, many times they're conditional promises. The word of the Lord comes many times as a conditional promise. If you do this, then I'll do this. And the word of the Lord that went forth came to pass when the word of the Lord was followed. Because if you read in the 16th verse, it said, and the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord changes not. When the Lord says, this is how it's going to be, that is how it's going to be. He is God. He doesn't change. And I want to also look at, and we'll go through here, but I want to also notice in the second verse it said, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, and then what do we find Elijah did? It said in the fifth verse, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. And so the story was that he told Elijah to go by the brook Cherith. He didn't say go by the brook Kedron. He didn't say go out to Shreveport Lake. He told him exactly where to go. He said, you go by the brook Cherith, and there you'll be able to drink and the ravens will feed you. And you know, a lot of times I think we go out to the Lake Shreveport, if there is such a lake, and then we wonder why the ravens don't come and feed us. And we wonder why the lake's drying up and we don't have anything to drink. And so we almost start putting it back off on the Lord, saying, well, you told me you were going to feed me with ravens. You told me I was going to have water to drink here, but Lake Shreveport's dried out, or Lake Monroe, there's no water in it. And the Lord's saying, but I didn't tell you to go to Lake Monroe. I told you to go to Brook Cherith. See what the point is? We can't take pieces and parts of the word of the Lord and divvy it up and parse it out and then decide what pieces of the promise is going to be a benefit to me according to my will. The Lord said, go to Brook Cherith. And when he went to Brook Cherith, just exactly like the Lord said, the ravens came. Keep that in mind. The word of the Lord is sure. It's unchanging. He is God. We are not in a position to decide, well, Lord, you know, I think you had it about 90% right. And I'm going to do this other different over here, but I sure appreciate this other that you've promised to do. And then we wonder why it doesn't work out. I'm interested in knowing what the word of the Lord is, and I'm interested in following it wholly, completely, 100%. I like bringing up the account when the Lord told, you know, I've mentioned it here, I'm sure, before, and other places I go, and he said, Moses, my servant, is dead, and he told Joshua, he said, arise, get up. And he told him, he said, you go forth and you do everything according to my word. Don't go to the right. Don't go to the left. You do just exactly according to my word. And if you do, I have much land for you. And so many times I think that we miss out on the promises. We miss out on the blessings that God has for us. And we don't avail ourselves of all that God has for us in life because we don't take to heart seriously enough that He wants us to follow His Word just like He put it forth. And when we deviate from it, things don't go well. And then we wonder, what happened? A lot of times it's a good idea when things aren't going well to kind of reassess. Ask ourselves, am I living according to the Word or have I deviated to the right or to the left? So I just like you to keep that in mind and be encouraged and challenged by that as we go through this. So we find this story. Ahab, he was kind of a scary king. He was kind of a scary actor. He was not a good person. And back in those days, you didn't just waltz up to a king and kind of declare something before him that wasn't going to be good for him and then think that everything was going to be okay. I mean, they did some serious things back then. We heard about this morning. You didn't just decide you weren't going to bow down to the idol and then go home and eat your dinner. You got thrown in the fire. Well, the Lord had something He wanted Elijah to do. Elijah could have said, "Well, oh Lord, you think maybe your spirit could tell Ahab that instead of sending me? You know, I mean, this could be not a good thing." But he told him, like, this is what you need to, this is the word of the Lord. So Elijah went to Ahab and he told him, it isn't going to rain. And oh, by the way, not only is it not going to rain, but there's not going to be any dew either. There's going to be no water. And after he got done saying that, the Lord told Elijah, I think it's time to get out of here. At first I thought Elijah was the one that decided, you know, I think it's time to get out of town. But then when I read it again, the Lord says, you need to get out of here. Get thee hence, He said, and you go eastward, and you go and hide. Because staying in front of Ahab, that's not a good thing. That might not end well. And of course the Lord had all that in control, but He had a broader work to do. And so He told Elijah, you need to get out of here, and you need to go down here to the brook Cherith. And he told them that He would sustain him, it said, and He would have ravens come and bring him, well, it says, to feed him there. I remember as a boy in the storybook looking at the pictures in the, what do they call them, the Edgar Meyer storybook. It didn't sound like he was eating the ravens. It looks like the ravens were bringing him food. And so they had come and drop off his meal in the morning and in the night, or in the evening, twice a day, and that's where he'd get his food. So he'd sit by the brook, and the Lord said, I'm going to feed you by ravens. Now that's kind of a little outside of the box. I mean, I've never been fed by a raven, never been fed by a bird. I might have eaten a bird, but I've never been fed by a bird. And the Lord, Elijah knew, I mean, hey, if there's no water coming, this is going to affect me too. It's going to affect the animals in the land, but the Lord said, I'll take care of you. You go hide and I'm going to supply your need. And because Elijah did just exactly according to the word of the Lord, he didn't try to pack himself a lunch and make provisions, you know, for a long period of time. He went where the Lord said to go, and just like the Lord said, he sent ravens to feed him and then to drink water at the brook. Well, then what happened? There came a day when the ravens stopped bringing food. Or maybe it was the brook dried up first. I'm not sure what happened first. As a human being, what do you think Elijah felt like with the first day the raven didn't show up with food? Or he got up and he looked down and there was no water in the brook? What are your thoughts? As a human being, what would you start thinking? How about when the raven didn't come at noon or in the evening? Yeah, did the Lord forget me today? Maybe He just wanted to get maybe in the morning. No raven. What would you think? Have you ever been there? I've been there. Have you ever been in a place where you felt the Lord move upon you? And the word of the Lord came and you went in the fear of the Lord and you did what the Lord wanted you to do. And He blessed you in that thing. But then all of a sudden it seemed like something started to change. And you know what's really easy for us to do? We start questioning whether it was the Lord in the first place at all. Mm-hmm. We start saying, well, I wonder if it's even the Lord. Here, I came out here and I did this because I felt impressed by the Lord and it seemed like He was blessed. But now, where is God? Does God even know I'm here? Was it even God in the first place? Here I was trying to do God's will. And I'm out here, I'm getting ready to die. And it's because I gave the word of the Lord. I was His instrument. Now here I am. I don't know about you, but sometimes as human beings, we can be tempted to do that. We start wondering where God is and was it God in the first place? But here's the thought that I have out of this. There comes a time when the Lord wants us to get up and move on. There's times the Lord wants to take us to some different land. Sometimes there's some different brooks He wants us to sit by. Sometimes He wants us to experience being fed from some different sources. And so sometimes He has to cut off the supply, change the environment to get us to get up to move. Because as human beings, we like to sit down and get all comfortable and have the ravens come and feed us and got the brook right there and we're safe and everything's fine and don't need to change. And we get comfortable and we start losing sight of things. We start taking things for granted. And the Lord comes along and says, it's time for you to move. Or maybe there's a need somewhere else that we can meet, help meet. The Lord wants to use us as an instrument. And so He helps get us up from where we are and move to another place. The Lord doesn't want us to get all discouraged and say, well, the Lord must have forgot about me. Maybe it wasn't God in the first place. Does He not know I'm here? And give ourselves over to discouragement. Remember when the Lord told Abraham, go out. I've got all this land and all these things. And Abraham took off, went out, and he walked right into a famine. Well, he could have said the same thing. Lord, I tried to do Your will, and now I'm in a famine. I should have just stayed where I was. And the Lord is like, just trust me. I have broader purposes. I have infinite solutions that you don't know anything about. So Elijah, he got up and he did according to the word of the Lord. And in the 8th verse, we find that he got up and he went to the widow woman at Zarephath. And he gets there and, well, she doesn't have a lot of water and food either. And the story said that he gets there and he said, and I'm gonna do like Brother Edgar. I'm gonna paraphrase just a little bit. You give me a little liberty. So he got there and he said, could you bring me a little bit of water, please? And I can just see in her mind she's thinking, yeah, a little bit, because I don't have a whole lot. Maybe I can spare a little water. So as she's going to get the water, he's like, oh, by the way, while you're going to get the water, can you please bring me a little morsel of, what did he say? Yeah, bread. Bring me some bread when you come back with the water. And I can see her turning around and looking at the man of God and saying, you know, as the Lord God liveth, just as sure as there is a God, that's what she meant here, as the Lord God liveth, just as sure as there is a God, I'm here to tell you that I don't have a cake. I don't have a cake. In fact, all I have is a little handful of meal, and I'm getting ready to go get 2 sticks. Because I don't need a roaring fire. I don't need some logs to make a great meal. I'm just going to get 2 sticks because that's all I need, because I don't have any more food that is required from 2 sticks worth of fire. And that's all I have. Have you ever been in that place where you felt like you just had enough on hand for 2 sticks of fire was about all it took to get it going? Sometimes we feel kind of empty in some areas. Sometimes we feel just about run out. We feel run out of water. We feel run out of food. Sometimes we're running low on encouragement and somebody calls and they want to be encouraged and you're on the other end and you feel like you have about 2 sticks worth of encouragement and they want part of your sticks of fire and the last little bit of meal you had and you're trying to figure out how to kind of parse it out. And she turns around and tells him, look, I don't have a cake. Just got a little tiny bit. In fact, it just going to take 2 sticks. And Elijah said something to her, and probably for the first time, maybe you're ways ahead of me on this. I've never really thought about this before. It took more faith from Elijah than sometimes we always think about the woman happened to have a lot of faith by giving it to him first. If I were in Elijah's shoes, it'd take a lot of faith for me to tell a widow woman with the son, you take the last little bit that you have and you go ahead and give it to me first. I wouldn't want to eat the last little bit that she had and then with a full stomach watch her and her son die. Elijah had to have some faith that the word of the Lord was going to come to pass. And when Elijah did what the word of the Lord came to him to tell her, and the woman did what Elijah said, because he said, "You give to me first, and then you go ahead and do," or he said, "You go ahead and do what you were going to do. Get your two sticks, make your cake. You give to me first, and then you can eat, and then the Lord will cause an abundant supply to take place." And they both did exactly what the word of the Lord came to them. Both of them did just exactly what the word of the Lord was. And what was the result? The result was that she had enough to feed herself, her son. What else did it say? She and he and her house. I don't know who all was in her house. My guess was her house might have gotten bigger as the days went by. Her oil didn't run out. She might have had a pretty big house by the time all got said and done. Had enough to supply all of them when they did according to the word of the Lord. When the woman was willing, now here's, I want to get to the thrust of my message now. When the woman was willing to give all that she had, to give to the Lord first, even with the threat, the possibility of death, total, complete loss in the background, hanging over her head. Well, if I give it to him and he eats it, then we're just going to die that much quicker. When she was willing to give of her first fruits, when she was willing to give all that she had, even when she thought she wasn't going to have anything else left, she was left in a far better place when she got done. And I think about the verse in Matthew 6 and 33 that says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." And then what does it say? And then you might be left without. Is that what it says? It says, this was Jesus talking, and He had already told them, doesn't the Father know, you know, He sees the sparrow fall, and doesn't He know, see that you know the needs that you have? And so this was Jesus' instruction to us. He said, you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek it first above everything else. If there are other things in your life that you have an interest in, don't put any of your interest in front of the righteousness that God wants to be born out in your life. You give yourself first to His righteousness and His kingdom that we heard about this morning. Seek ye first kingdom, His righteousness. And He said, these other things, They'll be added unto you. And I'm encouraged with this thought. God is not restricted or limited by what I'm restricted and limited by. I go through life and I make decisions based upon physics and chemistry and life and death and time. I mean, does anybody here have control over chemistry? I mean, it just kind of is. Or physics. Can you change the laws of physics? I can't. I can't turn back the time. I can't go forward in time. And we make decisions and our mind works according to what we believe is, you know, every action precipitates an equal and opposite reaction. You know, well, if I do this, well, then this is going to happen. And if I do that, well, then that's going to happen. So we make all of our decisions based upon that. This morning, I want to tell you, the Lord is not restricted by physics. He created physics. He's not restricted by chemistry. He's not restricted by time. Why, if he wants to, He can make the sun back up. Or He can make the sun move forward. He's not restricted by death. The Scripture said, before Abraham was, I am. The Scripture says, I am the great I am. When Lazarus died, death didn't have, that was nothing to the Lord. Well, he raised him up. Food was subject to the Lord.
when he just had a couple little fish and some little bit of bread, it fed the multitudes. The waves and the sea and the wind, they're subject unto the Lord. Not subject to me. I make decisions based on what the wind and the sea are doing. Not the other way around. I don't get to tell, well, I'm going to go fishing today and I'm going to have a real nice calm day on the water, even though the water's rough. God just tell the water to calm down. That's not how I make decisions. I make decisions based on what the weatherman says. I might say a prayer too. The point here is, the Lord is above all of that. And He's asking us to trust Him, to give Him first place in our life. And so often we look at all these areas of our lives and we say, yeah, but Lord, but if I do that, then this. What? He's not asking us to trust in our own power. He's asking us to trust in His power. And so before we end this morning, I want to get it just a little bit closer to give us some things to think about. How does this apply in our life today? How about in our giving? Young people, you all are starting to, you're getting ready to go out and make a go of it yourself. I want to tell you something. As you get your jobs and you go out to pay your bills and pay your for a home and a car and the associated bills, don't ever shortchange the Lord in giving to His cause and His work. The Scripture says, give of your first fruits. That doesn't just mean in your mind. That means get your wallet out and take your money and give and support the work of the Lord. Give of your first fruits. Give of it. And so often the way we think, as humans think, when you have just a little bit, you feel like you're down to two sticks worth of fire and water, and you're trying to figure out how it's going to all go around. And you know what a real easy place to shortcut is? Well, I don't know. Maybe I can get by without giving anything to the Lord this paycheck. Maybe, because we're adding everything up. I'm not making any. Let the Lord lead and guide you. But here's my point. Don't shortchange the Lord on your giving. The Lord knows how to multiply. He knows how to keep the car running for a lot of miles and not break down and save you money that way. He knows how to open and close doors where I never expected this to fall in my lap. I never thought this could take place. I didn't know I was going to have this extra. You can't outgive the Lord. Be willing. As you start, young folks, as you start setting some precedents in your life and you start putting some practices in action, make that one of your practices. Look around and ask the Lord, how can I support your work with what you give me? If we don't, the only reason we have what we do is because the good Lord gave us strength to get up in the morning and go to work in the first place. And He can take that away in a hurry. Give back to Him. He's noticing. He knows your need. He said, doesn't my Father? He knows when the sparrow falls. Certainly He knows when you have a need. Be diligent to put the Lord first. Give Him of your first fruits. Put Him first. Give Him first place in your life. How about time? Time is limited. And so many times, we look at all the things we have to do. We have to be at work at this time in the morning, and we got to do this when we get home from work, and we have to do this and this and this, and the children, and I've got to go to the store, and pretty soon our time is all taken up, and we haven't stopped. And well, if I give the Lord, I'm not going to be able to do this, or I'm not going to be able to do that. I got up one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier became each task. Why doesn't God help me, I wondered? He said, you didn't ask. poem goes on and says, I got up this morning and I paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. The Lord goes before us. When we give Him of our time, when we think we don't have enough time to go around, but we stop and we say, no, Lord, I don't understand how everything's going to fit in this box, but I'm not going to shortchange you. I'm willing to give to you first. And I'm going to trust you with what is left, that it will be enough. How about fulfillment? We have all these ideas in life about what we think fulfills us. Lord, if I give this up, I'll be empty. Lord, if I give this to you, I won't have anything left. I won't be happy. The Lord says, you give to me first. Seek first righteousness. If you have something in your life that doesn't demonstrate righteousness, but you're afraid to give it up because you feel like you're just going to be flat empty in that area, give it up. If you can seek righteousness first, then let the Lord give back. Let Him cause what is left to turn into an abundance. Are you willing? You know, it takes faith. These things need to be put in real practice in our life. It's more than just a head knowledge of, well, we want to put the Lord first, and then we walk out the back door and we just forget about all of it. And I was thinking about our pride, too. How much pride do you have on hand this morning? Are you willing to give a little bit of it up? You know, sometimes we think, well, I don't have a lot of pride. But then you get to the place where you just about don't want to step out for the Lord and do this, that, or the other because you're afraid of what might be the consequence of it. Lord, they'll think I'm nothing. Lord, I won't fit in, or this group will look at me funny, or Lord, I might not come across as articulate as what I want to come across. And the Lord says, give it to me. Be willing to give that to me first, and then let me worry about what comes next. Our trust in Him. God wants our trust. God wants us to look upon Him, and before anything else, He wants us, Lord, I trust You. I believe in You. I wonder this morning, perhaps there's places in your life. I suspect there is, because it doesn't take me very long to look in my own life and find places where maybe I'm not doing as the widow woman did. Maybe the Lord says, Rod, could you go get me some water? And I think about it a little bit, and I think that seems a little tough, but yeah, I'll go get, Lord, I'll do that for you. And as I'm going, the Lord says, oh, and could you also bring me this? And I wonder if there's places in our life that when that question is asked, we go, oh, wait a minute, Lord. If I give you that, I'm not gonna have anything left. Maybe there's places like that in your life today where you're holding back. And maybe there are places you're really not giving to the Lord first place. Give the Lord first place in your life. He notices, listen, He notices when you give Him first place. And He notices when you give Him second place. If He notices when you give Him first place, He notices when you give Him second place, or third place, or fourth place, or when maybe He's not even considered. You know that we do a lot of things in life without ever considering the Lord. A lot of times, I mean, we go about our lives and we just go off and we hardly ever give the Lord a chance to ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to do? I want to live my life. Lord, help me live my life so that continually, like Paul, I'm saying, Lord, what would You have me to do? Lord, in this area of my life, how can I give it to You first? How can I give You first place? Lord, what areas in my life am I not giving You first place? Lord, I want to know. Help me understand where you are viewing my life, where I'm giving you second place and you have something different for me. I want to encourage you with this morning, that if you're willing to give in first place, like the widow woman, you remember the cruse of oil, you remember the little barrel of meal that was left over, and you remember that when it was given to the man of God, according to the word of the Lord, representative of giving to God first, you remember what happened to her. She was left with an abundance. If she wouldn't have given it, yes, she would have had what she had, and she would have got her two little sticks, and she would have made it, and she would have died. But because she gave it first, she was blessed with abundance. May the Lord bless each one of you this morning, is my prayer.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, dear Lord. Well,